Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 312. If you'd like a copy of it at the end of the program, just Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of an audio tape or a CD, whatever you prefer. We have music, we have a powerful message, we have a part of Hitler's speech. Why am I doing the Hitler speech thing? It's because the Lord told me to find out what he said, and he wants me to tell it to you. The Lord wants me to pass these things unto you, and many other things as well. I want to explain to people how you can know that you're being led by the Holy Spirit, or that the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, and what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and what it means to be led by the Spirit. I just did another tape on that today, and I'll more than likely be bringing that message to you tomorrow. Then I'm also going to be bringing a message on the ascension of the Lord, or the resurrection of the Lord, which was the time that he was glorified. God glorified Jesus by raising him from the dead. It's the same thing. You can take a seed, a kernel of wheat, or a seed of a beautiful flower, and it doesn't look like anything at all. And Jesus was the Holy Spirit, was God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that came into the world. And there wasn't any beauty about him that you could recognize him, because he was the seed. He was the seed that was going to be planted into death, sown into death, just as seeds are, so that God could glorify him by resurrecting him from the dead. That is the glory. Jesus glorified the Lord by preaching, saying many things unto the people of this world. And then he was resurrected from the dead, which means that he was glorified. Mary said, when he was resurrected from the dead, that Mary told him, "Master," and she went to touch him or to cling unto him. And Jesus said, "Cling not unto me." This is the Hellenic Greek. This is the actuality of the scripture, because he said, "I haven't ascended unto my Father. I've been glorified by him by being resurrected from the dead." And it's the same thing with a kernel of wheat fallen into the ground, or a seed of a beautiful flower. It is not glorified until it first dies, and then it comes up a beautiful flower. Amen?
Amen.
The glory of it comes up. The glory of the wheat, the glory of the flower, the glory of the seed. Seeds aren't pretty to look at, are they?
No.
Okay. So that was the glorification. God glorified Jesus by raising him from the dead. And he hadn't ascended unto the Father. So many people think that the Lord was glorified when he ascended into the kingdom of heaven, but that isn't true. He was glorified when he was resurrected from the dead. And I've got a message on that probably in about 3 or 4 days, so make sure you stay tuned. There are many scriptures that I'm going to bring in that regard, and you'll be happy that you tuned in, for sure. All right, now, right now, we also have testimonies. And a strong message from the Word of God. And right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint, to live into us. The Lord says, all those that live into me is also the Greek. And those that believe into Jesus are saved. They believe in Jesus. No, live into the Word. Jesus is the Word. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the light of the world. He's the life of mankind. The light, which is the Word. All these are the same. The Word of God is Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus, which is the Word of God. The life of Jesus is our life. He came into the world clothed in humanity. God came into the world clothed in humanity. There was no beauty about him that we should desire him. However, we've all come into the world, and we must put aside our old life. That's what the Lord called us to do, is set aside our old life so that we can live the life into Christ, into Him. Okay, Father, anoint this service. Let everything that you say go into everyone that hears. Let the word, your word, which is Christ, live into every hearer. For without Christ living into us and us living into Him, there's no possible way that we can enter the kingdom of God. So, Lord, by your anointing, you are the resurrection and you are the life. You are the quickening spirit, or the only life-giving spirit. Without your life entering, your spirit, which is eternal life, entering into our life, our temporal life, our spirit, we have no life. Your life and our life must be mingled together in order for us to have eternal life. You must live into us, and we must live into you. Lord, let that happen to all hearers today, that souls may be saved, and that the church begin walking into you, and you they be walking into you, and you be walking into them, that the things that you've called all human flesh to do is to walk according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, which only is in Christ Jesus, and that we depart, we set aside our life from the Spirit, or the law of sin and death. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now I'd like to favor you all with a song, and this one has to do with the Great Speckled Bird. A lot of people don't know what the Great Speckled Bird is, but there's the Holy Spirit is Christ, and He is the Christ, the God of all flesh. That means black flesh, white flesh, brown flesh, beige flesh, yellow flesh, red flesh, all. And so it's kind of like a speckled conglomerate that is all comes into one flesh, which is the one body, rather, which is the body of Christ. And the song talks about the people of the world long to find fault in our teaching, but really they find no mistake, no legitimate mistake. Everything they say bad about the body of Christ, the Great Speckled Bird, is a lie. So here I am, along with the Stamps Quartet and J.D. Sumner, singing the Great Speckled Bird.
What a beautiful thought I am thinking, concerning the Great Speckled Bird. Remember, her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch every move that she makes. They love to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. I am glad that I learned of her meekness. I am glad that my name is on her book. For I want to be one, never fearing, on the believe you're too low. When he comes descending from heaven on a cloud as he rides in his blood, I'll be joyfully carried up to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird. On the wings of that great speckled bird.
Speaking of the great speckled bird, that is, we have, if you're a Christian, you've already resurrected unto a new life. And if you're not living the life of Christ, there are people that live Christ-like lives, but they're not living the life of Christ. There's a great difference in that, and that message I'll be bringing you tomorrow. The Holy Spirit is not living in them. They're just false Christians. They don't allow the Lord to walk in them. They're not at all concerned about it. They don't live that life. They're not real Christians. They're fake. And they're filled full of, they're trying to do good in the way that they were before. They think that they just need to be repaired a little bit and begin doing good things in their own strengths. But the Lord tells us that he doesn't want to just paint the house outwardly. It's like somebody saying that, I want to refurbish my house. I'm going to paint it and put new windowsills on it. But still, it's just a surface thing. It's still an old house, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Or if they want to repaint their automobile, it's still the same old automobile under there. Okay, there's no difference at all. And even if you put a new motor in it, it's still not, it's not completely changed. There needs to be a metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It has to be something new, the new life, the life of Christ, who is God. The Bible plainly states that it's this new life that we must live, the Christ's life. We have to live Christ's life. Not a Christ-like life. That's an imitation. It has to be into Christ. And Christ into us. And when people still are the same, that isn't even a Christ-like life. And for sure, it isn't the life of Christ. There's a big, big, big difference. And we have some testimonials here. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because we'll be bringing that message to you. I've already taped it. So, Michelle, where's the first testimony from?
From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, what do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Olamo, someone left your literature on my car window. I didn't read it immediately, but when I read the story about you and your wife climbing the mountain, I was blessed in my spirit. Your story makes me want to seek Jesus the more. I am requesting some of your literature to distribute so others can know that Jesus saves. And she gives her address in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, signed Linda.
Okay, Linda, praise the Lord. We'll be glad to send you more and more literature and inform you of the time that I'm on the air. And if you can't pick us up on whatever station is that we're near there, what you could do is just listen to me on our website, or you can request the audio tapes or a CD, and it's all free of charge. Okay, go ahead. Where's the next one from?
From Rivers State, Nigeria.
Okay.
Dear World Pastor Olamo, I am very grateful to God who has chosen you to be his mouthpiece and eye-opener in our generation. I want to personally thank you for your newsletters, which are revealing some of the hidden truth that preachers are afraid to speak about. In fact, your newsletter, My God, My God, For This I Was Kept, was a clear testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross.
Well, what that piece of literature is about, you can get a copy of it if you like. It's free of charge as well. It talks about Jesus never said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord God, God the Father, never forsook Jesus. As a matter of fact, he went to the cross with him. There's only one God, but there's three parts. It's a triune God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all went to the cross at the same time. Absolutely clean, but the sins of the world went on them, on Christ, the actual body, the human body of Christ. God stepped into the world in a human body, and because of the power, the strength that was in Christ, in that human body, he was able to never sin. And this is the way that people are when they receive Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit into their body. They never sin. And so it's a dead giveaway when you see people sinning, lusting after flesh, lusting after the things of this world. And the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Because Jesus never did that. He stepped into the world, God did, in human flesh, and kept all the commandments. And then he lives in his people. And that's how you're able to tell that Christ is still in the world, in human bodies, is that they don't sin. They don't lure men. Women don't lure men unto them. What they do is lead men unto Christ. Men don't lure women into sexual relationships, into corruption, but men lead women unto Christ. This is the true sign that Christ is still living in the world. Christ never lured any women into sordid sex affairs. He didn't, no matter what the History Channel tells you. They're not saved. All they are is part of the Vatican, a branch of the Vatican, to make you disbelieve the Word of God and to disbelieve how holy Christ was and is. Christ became the Holy Spirit after he resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. He became the one and only life-giving Spirit. And it is a Holy Spirit. And many preachers say, well, how many in this world are really holy? Well, there are some of us that are holy. Not many, but there are some of us that are holy, because without holiness, no man can see God. Without holiness, no one can understand the Scriptures. They may understand it, but they can't walk that walk. They can talk about it, they can know the Scripture, but they don't. They live, like I said, the Christ-like life. It's, they may be morally okay, some people, and they may help people. They may feed them and clothe them and house them, but if they don't have Christ in them, if Christ is not stepped into them, and they have not stepped into Christ, they're phonies. The deeds that they do, they're all like filthy rags. The good deeds that you do are like filthy rags. You must be born again. And so a lot of people are into religions, and yet they're not born again. And I'm not saying these things if it offends you, if the Word of God offends you, well, then you really are gone. I'm telling you the Word of God, that you must be born again of the Spirit. Christ must be into you, and you must be into him. Okay, do you want to finish?
In fact, your newsletter, my God, for this I was kept, was a clear testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross.
Right, what Jesus really said on the cross, because the people that translated Aramaic into what the King James Version is, there was a few mistakes that they made, and one of them was that Jesus did not say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God doesn't forsake himself, and he didn't forsake his Son. He sent him into the world to die, and that he did. And he sent him into the world to resurrect him from the dead, to glorify Jesus as Jesus glorified him. This is all in the 20th chapter of the book of John. All right, so, and Mary came unto him and said, master or rabbi or teacher. And she went to cling unto him, and he said, cling not unto me, for I have not ascended unto my Father as of yet. But that was going to happen any minute. And he was going to ascend. However he did it, the Lord can do it in the flash in a second, just like when he's coming back to earth again. It's going to happen like a thief in the night. Nobody's going to know exactly when that's going to be. But we see all the signs. And people say, well, they've said that before in the past, but never before was there a world government. Never before had the Jews been restored to Israel. And never before have the Jews, since they were dispersed, been out preaching the gospel to you Gentiles. Now there are many Jewish preachers. And so the Gentile dispensation is over. That's a big sign that the end of time is here. And the Gentiles have now backslidden. And I'm cautioning you Gentiles to get back to the Lord. Don't be a Gentile any longer. You have to be a spiritual Jew in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. You must let the God of the Jews, the actual Jewish God, step into you, and you must step into him, because there's nobody else. There's nobody else. Nobody else. No other person, Buddha, or any of those other idols, or the Pope. None of these people can save your soul. There's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved, and that's the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so what Jesus really said on the cross was, my God, for this cause came I into the world. That's the actual Aramaic translation. For this cause came I into the world. I gave my life. The Lord strengthened Jesus because he was a man, and he was praying unto the Father, let this cup pass me by. And if not, Lord, thy will be done. And so God sent him a strengthening angel, which was the Holy Spirit, and gave him the strength to do the last thing, to be faithful to the very end, that is, to the death of the cross. And so he was strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and he went right through it. And then he resurrected on the third day. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And if you, the same Spirit has stepped into you that was in Jesus at birth, then you too will be raised from the dead. You as well will be raised from the dead on the last day. But if that same Spirit has not stepped into you, and you have not stepped into the Lord, then you will not, you'll be raised to everlasting damnation in the pit of hell and in the lake of fire. There's just no other way. Okay? So, finish off this letter.
In fact, your newsletter, my God, for this I was kept, was a clear testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, rather than the contrary, which almost all the preachers hold unto. Sir, try and ship some holy Bibles, tapes, and newsletters for free distribution in my community. Just no man can reveal the mind of God except it is given to him. So many preachers are only trying to impose their erroneous doctrines on people, which is against the word of God. You are truly a God general of our time. Keep on the good work, as I long by his grace to see you in the future. Signed, John from Rivers State, Nigeria.
Lord bless you, John. Glory to God. Send him everything he wants and needs, and send him even more. Praise the Lord. What else? Do you have another letter?
Yes, from Worcester, Ohio.
Okay.
Would you believe I actually believed the false accusations against Pastor Lomo? And when I told a Christian brother about this, he pointed out that it was a smear campaign because he dares to talk about the Jesuits. Imagine how embarrassed I was, especially since I knew Alberto Rivera had been maligned in a similar fashion. It wouldn't surprise me if people who have, quote, come forward, unquote, to slam Pastor Lomo have been paid off. As the saying goes, everyone has their price. Of course, it should be virtually impossible to buy off Christians. I get your newsletters, and I do enjoy looking through them. I get the sense that Pastor Lomo really loved his late wife, Susan. Please pray that I can fellowship more often with Christians in my area, and not just on the internet. I know of a few in the next county. Seems that all the churches in my town aren't all that interested in, quote, what saith the scriptures, unquote. Keep up the good work. Alexandra from Wooster, Ohio.
Praise the Lord, Alexandra. You're a person after my own heart, after the Lord's heart. Yeah, not so many people believe the propaganda that is laid out by the Vatican's in an attempt to thwart the true work of the Lord here on earth. But the same thing happened to so many nations. Propaganda is horrible. It's lies. Satan is the liar and the father of it. And there's so many lies that they tell about people that are preaching the gospel that it's people actually begin believing them, and they actually will kill you thinking they're doing God a favor, it says in the Bible, that they're doing God a favor to quench, to destroy the vessels that have sold themselves out, that have stepped completely into Jesus, and Jesus has stepped completely into them. There's just hardly anybody in this world that is that way. Jesus told Peter, after Peter had denied him three times, he said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. And then Peter said, feed my sheep. There's so few people in the churches, and even in my church, that take care of baby Christians. And then Jesus asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he says, feed my flock. How many people in our church feed the flock? In my own church, no one. No one takes care of young Christians, which shows that they must not love the Lord. Many people in my church think that they're of the Lord, that they love him if they just distribute literature and then go to restaurants to eat and converse and so on. This is not right. Then the Lord asked him for the third time, in contrast to the three times that Peter denied Jesus and even cursed and ranted and raved and went away from him. He says, for the third time, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, he was grieved because he asked him three times. Well, don't you think Jesus was grieved that at the sound of the rooster that Peter, he says, before the rooster crows, you, Peter, will deny me three times. And then people that are not taking care of baby Christians, they're denying the Lord every day of their life. Amen?
Amen.
Lovest thou me, Peter? He's grieved. And he says, yes, Lord. He says, well then, I'm commissioning you to feed my sheep. Not with false doctrine, or not with some whim that hits you, but give them my word. Read the Bible. You're not allowed to teach if you're a novice. And if you don't understand scriptures, you're commanded to go to the shepherd, the one that the Lord has called over the entire church. To be a world pastor, call me, and I'll be glad to, or fax in your questions, and I'll be glad to answer your questions. But feed my sheep. Take care of them. Don't think that fry cooking or typing or driving a truck or anything like that is more important than loving the Lord, because he wants you to love him that way. What is loving the Lord? Is to what? Feed his flock, isn't it? That's what he said, right?
Yes.
Feed my sheep. Not tear them to shreds, like most, quote, Christians, unquote, do. Christians, it's been said that they kill their own people. But the Lord wants Christians to tell Christians these things that I'm telling you. The Lord, if you love him, then keep his commandments. Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. Do what I tell you. But if you don't, then I know you don't love me. That's the surest sign that you don't love me, is that you don't take care of the flock. that you do not read the Bible with them and pray with them. Not teach them. I mean, you just tell them, here's what the pastor told us. Here's what the Lord taught our pastor, and our pastor passed it on to us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, it does. So, three times Peter renounced Christ, and three times Christ commissioned Peter to do something. And what was that something?
To feed his sheep.
You're right on. But that's obvious, isn't it?
Yes.
After three times, maybe it sinks into some people's... It steps into people's hearts. It steps into people's souls, because the Word is God. And the Lord emphasized that three times in a row. And that isn't just Peter. It's everybody. Amen? Amen. There are some people in our church that do that. There's some people that do that. And then there's some people that think that, driving the truck or going on a route or doing this or that or typing or whatever, that or taking people to dentists and doctors and all these kind of things, you should be praying with them so that they be healed. Amen?
Amen.
They think that's serving the Lord. Well, that helps, but, I mean, you feed with the Word of God my sheep. Feed them the Word. Jesus is both food and drink. He said we must eat his flesh, which means the Word, and then we must drink his blood, which means that we must go through it. He must be in us. You must let him step into you, and you step into him, says the Greek, and then let him have his way with you, so that the world can be spared, and the souls can be saved. If you don't pay any attention to new souls, then you do not love the Lord. And if you don't love him, then you're no friend of him. All those that are against me, anyone that is is not for me, Jesus said, is against me. And that's the way it is. Okay, you have another testimonial here? No more? That was them all?
Can I get some more?
We have a whole package full of them.
Yes.
We have a whole room full of them, but we can only do three because we have a message. And I'd like to have you hear the Lord, why the Lord told me to do this. I understand now. At first I didn't understand why he wanted me to pass satanic Hitler's words unto you, murdering Hitler, murderous Hitler. But he was deceived by the Vatican. The Vatican told him that it was the Jews that were attempting to take over the world, when in reality it was the very ones that were lying to him. It was the Vatican, and it still is to this day. And we know that as an assurance, we look into the Bible and see what it says, and it says it's the Vatican, amen?
Amen.
That brought about the world government. A rabbi didn't go to San Francisco to put together the United Nations Charter. It was Catholic Cardinal Homosexual Spellman who went to, and there's a doctrine that's in the, these false Christians say that you're not supposed to talk bad about anyone. Well, then why does the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
They're not Christians. They think it's bad to do what the Lord says to do, to expose Satan so that people can understand who Satan is and where he sits. The Bible says Satan's seat is in Rome. They were to resist the devil. How would we ever be able to resist the devil? Some people say you're not supposed to resist the devil. Like I said, I was in the, Fuller University bookshop.
Yeah.
And this young man, he says, Well, this my professor just talks about the love of God, the love of God. Well, everybody's talking about the love of God. But I said, well, what about the wrath of God and the hate of God? God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. The psalmist David says, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I mean, everything is not lovey-dovey in the Bible. There's more wrath of God. God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. He stepped into a man's body. He was actually the Holy Spirit had begotten Jesus, his only begotten Son at birth. Now, those of us that are afterwards, we were begotten by the Holy Spirit, but much later in life, that didn't happen to us at birth. We are Christ, and Christ is ours, and we become one in Christ Jesus, but we don't become the actual deity Christ. We are in the deity of Christ, and this is our salvation, that we're able to ascend into heaven with him because of his life-giving spirit dwelling in and through us. Okay? Now, the Lord told me to listen to Hitler's speeches, so we can tell that the destruction of Germany was the United Nations before Hitler took power. What the United Nations do by joining them is they suck all the blood out of this nation and give it to third world powers like they've done here in the United States. That's what they did to Germany, and that's what Hitler was crowing about in his speeches. But he said, since we pulled ourselves out of the United Nations, we became a great nation. And then they started with propaganda, and then they started propagandizing the Jews, saying that they're wanting to be the world power, that all the evil things that happened to Germany was the Jews. And the Vatican told them these things, and Hitler stupidly believed them. And that's why it justified the United Nations, the United States and Britain and Russia and France to get together and come and do something. But we, the United States, could have done that all by ourselves. We didn't need Britain. And we didn't need France or Russia to do this. We could have done it ourselves. General Patton said so. He said it's easy. And so did MacArthur, who was in the South Pacific. And Patton was in the North over in Germany. So anyway, let's hear, because the Lord wants you to know this, some of these words from Adolf Hitler. Go ahead.
Okay. With the United Nations, Hitler was saying, a peace of reconciliation and understanding was promised.
And the UN promises peace and safety, peace and safety. Then keep going.
A peace that was to know neither victor nor vanquished. A peace of equal justice for all. A peace of equal distribution of colonial domains and equal recognition of colonial desires. A peace that was to be finally crowned by a league of all free nations. In the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Christ, who has become the only life-giving spirit, says to the Apostle Paul,
said through the Apostle Paul, go ahead.
But of the times and the seasons,
brethren. Of the end time. The time and the season of the end time, which is now. Then what?
You have no need that I write unto you.
We don't have any need that Paul writes unto us, but he did, and the Holy Spirit thought there was need for it. Then what?
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Okay, so the United Nations is the one that's preaching peace and peace, and yet they have our troops going to all the different nations and bombing them to death for the Pope and for popery and for Satan. And we learn from Hitler that he said, no, I'm pulling out of there. Because they're destroying Germany, and they did destroy it until Hitler took power, and then he said, we're not having anything to do with the outside forces because the outside forces are cleaning us out. And that's what we must do, but it's doubtful that we will. Because Bush is a friend of the Pope and said he would do anything that the Pope asked him to do, even to the point of sending 21 more thousand of our dear sons and daughters over to Iraq, where we don't belong. We have no business over there. We should be, in this respect, as Hitler, is to just be one nation, uno, one nation, under God, a republic, not a democracy, because democracy is dictatorship. And dictatorships have to dictate, they want to dictate, be a dictatorship, they have to take over the whole world. And that's what they're doing, that's what Rome is doing. That's not the Jews, folks. That isn't the Jews. It's Rome. It's Satan through the embodiment of Rome, and they're in this country. I have a whole thing on how they were upset, the people at the Federal Building in Oklahoma City, because they were seeing FBI, BATF, IRS people bringing in incredible loads of explosives into the building. There are literally hundreds of testimonies that testify to that. And also testimonies that Timothy McVeigh never died. He was a government agent, and it wasn't that truck that blew that big hole in that building. And the people at the World Trade Center said that they saw FBI month after month bringing dynamite into the place, all kinds of explosives, dynamite caps and everything, so that the whole building would pancake down. Buildings don't pancake down if you just topple the top part of it. There was dynamite explosions, dynamite caps, explosive caps throughout the entire building, and that was done by what people think are our own federal agents, but they're actually plants in this country. People that have been recruited that are in our country to become Vaticanites, they said bring about peace, but the only way that they could make America go to war is if some atrocity is done by some other nation. And so what they did is they tried to blow up the United Nations, the World Trade Center, rather, one time, and it didn't work. So they realized they had to go in there and dynamite the whole place down to infuriate the American people enough to go to war. That's what they did at Pearl Harbor. The same thing. This was another Pearl Harbor, and I've written a piece of literature called Another Pearl Harbor, and it tells all these things. And there are many FBI people that I know that have told me that they knew this. One is John Peeler. He lives in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I did his whole testimony on the evil one world government agents that are American, that are posing to be United States Army, Navy, Marines, and United States military. They're not that at all. They are the muscle of the Vatican, who is promising everyone peace, but they're destroying people all over the world and in this nation. And they're planning even more. And so if few people would expose them, when they're exposed, when Satan is exposed, when the sunlight comes upon him, when the light of God is shed upon this weasel, he flees. Just like when you turn a light on in a room, the darkness flees because the light envelops it. Turn off the light and the whole place is filled with darkness again. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now the Lord says he must become a Jew. It wasn't the Jews that did these things. The Jews are not that way. They're peace-loving people. They're like porcupines. So you attack them and you're going to get some quills in you. Amen?
Amen.
And they'll do it. Okay, so now what? To go ahead and continue on with Hitler.
German foreign holdings were simply seized, and our merchant marine taken away.
Yeah, see, that was peace? What are they? They took our automobile industry out of here? Is that peace? They took our clothing industry? Everything's made in China now, and in Japan, the televisions and everything. because our economy is shot because the unions and the actual, these the unions are from the Vatican, and also the Department of Labor. They enforce it. We have to charge $20 to $50 an hour for a janitor to sweep the floor over the floor over at Ford Motor Company or GMC and all these different places. And you have to hike the price of the cars up in order to pay for all the employees. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens is that in Japan and China, they feed their people a bowl of rice and a couple of bucks, sometimes a dollar, half a dollar a day. And they give them a little cubicle to crawl into at night to sleep. That's the way they live, and they're able to outsell us, to undercut our prices. There isn't any knowledge that they had. All their knowledge they got from the people here in the United States, we're strong. We were strong. But when we gave ourselves over to the United Nations, we're weak now. Under the auspices of peace, 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 now comes sudden destruction. Amen?
Amen.
That's what happened to Hitler. Hitler pulled out and he became strong. Only when he started killing the Jews, God's chosen, favorite people. And the Christians, the real Christians, the ones that the Vatican hates, and the blacks and the homosexuals, they killed the street homosexuals, but they are homosexuals, and they hide their own homosexuals in the Vatican. You notice, did you ever notice that these people, all these pedophiles that rape these little altar boys, did you ever see any of them go to trial?
No,
the Vatican paid off. Okay, keep going.
Added to that was a financial plundering such as the world had never before seen.
Financial plundering. What did they do here? The same thing they did in Germany. Financial plundering. They plundered us. They took everything away because of the stupidity of the people here in the United States to go for such a thing. This is a proven failure. The Vatican is the Antichrist devil-run organization that runs the government and the media. Get that into your heads once and for all. The Bible says so. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, then what?
The monetary penalties which were imposed on the German people reached astronomical figures. Of these, an English statesman said that they could only be fulfilled when the German standards of living was reduced to the lowest possible level.
Yeah, just like we are now. We're reduced to the lowest possible level. People are living out in the gutters. People are three different jobs. And we're spending billions and billions of dollars to rebuild places that our armed forces have blown up and made the people surrender. And when they say, okay, we'll be Democrats. In other words, we'll let you rule over us. We'll let you be the world power over us. Then they lay off and then they come in with our billions of dollars, our trillions of dollars, we're $16 trillion in debt. And it goes up another $1 trillion every 12 months. How much longer are you people going to take? Why don't you just all join together as a one nation, a republic, not a democracy, a republic under God. One nation, indivisible, that we're indivisible if we're one nation. We're the actual power of the Vatican. They have no power without us. They're powerless. And when we do that, then the trillions of dollars will stay here in this country. And we're the world's superpower. We know how to make cars better than Japan ever thought of doing, making them. Amen?
Amen.
And we can make clothing better than they can, but not at the astronomical price of labor that we have to pay. Come on, wake up, you people. You can't be that doped up or drugged up, are you? Okay, come on, then what else?
Germans worked 14 hours daily. What Germans...
And our people are running 14 and 18 hours daily. I mean, you know, it's the same thing that happened in Germany. But they were smart, they pulled out. In that respect, they were smart. But they were not smart when they started killing God's chosen people, the blacks and the homosexuals, the street homo. Then what else?
What German spirit, German alertness, and German labor through decades and decades had collected and saved was lost in a few years.
Yeah, and that's what's happened in just a few years here in the United States of America. Just a few years of this UN garbage since 1945 to 2005 is 50 years, and then two more, 52 years it took. And now you're groveling, begging, when we were the number one nation in the world, and we still can be if we'll pull out of the UN. Then what else?
Millions of Germans were either torn away from the Reich or were prevented from returning to the Reich. The League of Nations was not an instrument of a just policy of understanding among nations, but is and was a guarantee of the meanest dictation man ever invented.
Dictatorship. Amen. Well, I see my time is up. Please receive what the Lord wants you to know. The Lord told me to preach this message to you. I don't believe you're going to hear any other preachers preaching it. It's for sure no one else has ever done it before.
Amen.
Except Hitler here, of all people. This monster is preaching the same truth, but that part is true. But we have messages here where he talks of the annihilation of the Jews, and that's where he really slipped up. Then the UN was able to come against him with a justifiable fury. All right, now it's time for you to be born again of the Spirit so that you can know these things. The mystery of God is revealed, and the mystery of iniquity has been revealed to you people. It's all unfolding real fast, and that's the book of Revelations tells you that you'll know these things just before the Lord comes back. This is what the final call for you people out there. Now, even if you don't pull out of the United Nations, the Lord's coming back anyway, and he's going to destroy. It's very unlikely that you're going to pull out of the UN. And even if you did, you're not that bright till you fall into some other crazy doctrine. Dictatorship or something. But the main thing to do is get into the Lord and you'll be saved. Amen? So
Amen.
Say this prayer to the Lord with all your heart and soul. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus. He glorified Jesus. He raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. And I believe all these things, Lord. And so I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And so just raise your hands up and thank him, praise the Lord for saving your soul. If you're driving, pull over to somewhere if you can, and keep your eyes on the road. And then to praise and thank the Lord, because you're saved now. And give all the glory to let the Lord, you've let the Lord step into your life, yeah, so that his spirit is mingled into your temporal spirit to make you have everlasting life. So here's Sharon to tell you how to have a copy of program number 312. That's this copy here. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
We have to pray. You have to pray. You have to pray, but then you have to have action. You have to, you know, get out there and do something. You have to resist the devil. That's what the Lord says. Here I am singing, how long has it been since you prayed to the Lord? Okay?
Since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secret, how long since you prayed, how long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? that your heart knew no burden, and you called him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and prayed that the day since you knew that he cared for you? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew?